So we're going to start with a track from the Kraft Club CD. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Stick around.
Thank you.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest today is the band Kraft Club, myspace.com/kraftclubmusic. How's it going, everybody?
It's going good.
Thanks for coming in and setting up all your gear here in the tiny little Kill Radio studio. Why don't we just sort of go around the room and tell me who you are and what you bring to Kraft Club.
My name is Clara, and I play keyboard and a synth bass for Kraft Club.
Hey, my name is Will, and I play the drums.
Hi, my name is Steven, and I play guitar and I sing.
And how much of this is a collaborative effort, and how much of it is, you know, like one guy and his band? I mean, it's a three-piece, so...
Definitely a collaborative effort of three of us, I think. We all kind of pitch in.
Like, how did it start with one person, and then you added layers to it, or did three of you meet and decide you're going to play together?
Claire and I are kind of the original members of the band. Will joined us about, 6 months ago, maybe?
Yeah.
We've kind of had some drummer issues throughout the past, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Seems like, you know, we all have our specific role that we play in the band, and, you know?
So you're not using usually the thing that you see that comes in, I've noticed a lot, is like bass players seem to be the thing that go in and out of bands the most frequently, and you seem to have, like, you know,
we just bypassed
taking
the bass
care
player
of that
altogether.
Problem by just not having a bass player.
Yeah, it was a drummer.
We had a bass player for about 2 months. It was fun.
Good. That didn't work out?
I don't know. Not we don't really. Know what happened to him. He disappeared.
Yeah.
Now, Claire, what you have, like, all kinds of awesome gear in here. What are you playing?
I have a Moog Voyager and a Korg Triton. It's good. The Voyager is awesome.
Cool. All right. Well, if you guys are ready, let's jump into a live song, and then we'll get into the nitty gritty of Kraft Club. What are you gonna play for us first?
This track's called Lost at Sea. It's the opening track.
All right, whenever you're ready, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Kraft Club.
Oh, yeah. Let's plug this.
Tumble.
see, and they never wanna find a way back to the beach. And you know I wanna swim deeper, but I need a submarine, 'cause your love is way too
Nice. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Kraft Klub. You know what's cool about your music is there's sort of like this balance between kind of a down, kind of dark Morrissey vibe and more of an upbeat, you know. You know, it's sort of like the journey between, you know, the kind of upbeat indie rock and sort of downbeat. Like, is there sort of these things come into your mind, like with the kind of music you wanted to make?
Some of the songs I wrote when I was like really depressed, I guess.
Yeah.
So. But like they were kind of songs that I was trying to get, you know, happy, I guess. So I think that's why it's kind of in between.
So they're therapy songs?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess like you could say that. Because some of the songs that sound more upbeat, if you listen to the lyrics, they're kind of more depressing, I guess, or whatever. Not depressing, but...
What did you, when you started writing music, like, what came for you first? Was it playing guitar, singing, or writing songs?
Probably, I don't know, I've always just done them, play guitar and sang together, I guess.
Just all came at the same time?
Yeah.
And are you writing the same kind of songs now that you were when you started out, or has that kind of evolved into Kraft Klub?
Yeah, the songs I think that we're writing now are a little bit more... they're just a little bit more like observations of the outside world as opposed to like my inner thoughts and whatever. I think I've gotten, I don't know, a little bit sick of just writing about the way I feel.
A little less introspective.
Yeah.
Do you like it in terms of, you know, telling stories, or do you look at it in more abstract terms?
I just kind of usually just start playing and like stuff just comes out. You know, I don't usually think about like what I want to write a song about. It usually just happens sort of naturally. It's kind of weird.
What usually starts, do you usually get the sort of instrumentation down first and then the lyrics come to you? Or does a song usually start with a lyrical concept?
Yeah, it's usually with the guitar. The guitar, like if I'll usually have a guitar part and I'll start, you know, noodling around, and then, you know, I'll just start like singing some lyrics until like something pops out and I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool, and I'll write that down. And then usually, you know, and then I'll bring it to the studio, and then we'll kind of all jam on it together, and then and then they tell me what they don't like about it.
So it's sort of done by committee in the end.
I go dig a hole outside and hide in it, you know.
But do you guys just kind of figure out what you're going to play, you know, when Stephen comes in with a song, and do you just kind of improvise until it clicks, or does he come to you with like ideas of how he wants it to sound and you try to capture that?
I think he has a lot of good ideas a lot of times, but we start jamming first, you know, and then if there's some cool stuff, like we write it down or we decide to play this part or that part. But usually it works out together because I think we have a good chemistry.
Well, you've been with the band since the beginning, so you probably understand Steven's, you know, yeah, way of writing music well enough that it doesn't take you a long time.
I think.
But you can sort of get a sense when he comes to you with a song of like what he's probably looking for right off the top, huh?
Yeah, and I hear him playing around all the time if there's a new song, and he always wants to play in the studio together. So.
Were you in other bands before this one?
No. This is my first band.
So did you kind of learn your instrumentation, like your way of playing in this band?
Yeah, I think so, because I'm just classically trained, so this is like my first instrument that I ever had, like synthesizer-wise.
Yeah, I could hear some of the classical influence in the last song you guys played live,
yeah.
And I think that's a really, really nice touch. What are some of the things like that you have to do as a keyboard player to adjust your sort of classical mind to a rock aesthetic?
I try to listen to a lot of music, like different music, and learn.
Yeah. So it's just getting comfortable with the genre. And
uh-huh.
Cool. And let's talk a little bit about the drums here. I mean, like, what do you think, as a drummer specifically for Kraft Club, that's different than you might do in another band?
Well, I think kind of when I first joined Kraft Club, one of the things I was thinking about a lot was kind of, in a way, almost like underplaying some stuff and kind of like featuring like, kind of the song, you know, really just featuring the song and not overplaying on the drums at all. And so that's kind of like where I like have like my main focus. And then I kind of want it to be, you know, like something that's like, you know, interesting drum parts, not just the same, you know, thing that everyone plays, the same backbeat thing. So we try to change it up some.
So you want to be like in the band as opposed to the guy who hangs out with the band and just keeps the beat. Is that like not having a, usually you have the drummer and the bass player and they have this kind of conversation that's going on in one part of the band. And since you don't have, do you communicate with Clara and is she sort of your bass player?
Yeah, it's, I mean, she plays bass on the Moog. And so it's really different for me than playing with a bass player. In a way it's really nice cause she's got really good time and she doesn't, you know, mess around. Like she doesn't noodle all over the place with the bass. So it's pretty solid. At the same time, I think, like, rhythmically, we both follow the guitar rhythm a lot. Mm-hmm. And so we base off most of our rhythms off of that. So, yeah.
All right, cool. Let's listen to another track from the CD. First of all, just tell me where people can get this CD.
Yeah, right now, actually, Amoeba Music has us as the homegrown artist.
Congratulations,
feature.
I saw that on your page. Awesome.
That's pretty cool. Thank you. You can definitely go down there and pick it up at Amoeba. Also, iTunes. And then if you want to be really cool, buy it directly from us off of our website, craftclubmusic.com. And
I should probably sell them at shows as well.
Yeah, we're playing Spaceland with Is Good Music. Thanks, John. April 3rd.
Great show. Everybody has to be there.
Yeah, April 3rd.
I don't think Spaceland believes we can do it. I want to prove them wrong.
Let's prove it.
Yeah. Make sure to bring your hipster clothes.
Yeah. Is this a debut album for you guys? Or you have other EPs circulating around? Or
we have recorded a few of those songs before that are on there, but that's like that definitely is our debut album as far as a full album. That was, you know, everything else we've done before that was a demo. Demo quality.
When did this one come out?
Came out about
last year.
A year ago. Yeah. A little less than a year ago.
And are you already working on new material for what do they call it, a sophomore effort?
Yeah, I think so. We got we definitely have like four or five songs ready right now, and then we're working on some new stuff too.
A year's gone by and you have four songs?
Well, there was a lot of time because, you know, we lost our old drummer and we had about 4 months or 5 months of trying to regroup as a band and find, you know, new members. So there's been a lot of times where we kind of had to take little hiatuses and then rebuild from what we started with.
Are you, and as a writer, do you go sort of in and out of phases of being really prolific? Like, are you writing a whole bunch of songs and then you hit a block and you just wait for the inspiration to come again?
Yeah, that definitely is it's definitely what happens.
Just lock him in the room.
Yeah, I just need to be locked alone for like a couple of weeks. Come out to double album.
I get the impression that these guys like to torture you a lot, like lock you in closets till you come out with a good song. Or
yeah. At times when it comes necessary,
we call it the writing cage.
All right, what track should we listen to?
What do you guys think? Play Ups and Downs. That's the one that's been getting a lot of play on Indie 103.1 and whatnot.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Kraft Club. Stick around.
If you want me, you got me. If you need me, just let me know. And you know you can't have me, so
Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Kraft Club. Was it kraftclubmusic.com?
Yes, sir.
All right, and myspace.com/kraftclubmusic. Do you like the recording process, or do you think of yourselves more of like as a live act?
I like definitely like the recording process. I think we had a really good time recording this album, working with Jason. It was the first time we've ever, you know, worked with somebody who's like an accredited, you know, somebody that really knew what they were doing.
I guess that
and when
makes
I'd be like, "Hey, can we sing this in the bathroom?" He'd be like, "No, nah, you don't want to do that." Trust me. But yeah, it was really a lot of fun. We did a lot of overdub stuff, but at the same time, as like a live band, you know, I think we're a lot more raw, and a lot of people tell us they like us as a live band better, but I don't know.
Is it sort of a challenge as artists to sort of get the inspiration in the studio, you know, when you don't have that connection with the live audience?
It was actually pretty good. It was pretty fun. And our producer was very easygoing, you know, so it worked out really well, I thought.
What was it like for the first time for you guys when you went up on stage as Kraft Club and you were like, "Hey, this is our band"? Was that...
Well, that was about... We used to be called The Options. That was about like 4 years ago. We played at... Yeah. What was it called? What was the name of that place?
14 Below.
14 Below in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
And I was really nervous, but it went pretty well though, actually, for a first show. Like, I thought so.
I was
wearing some crazy like lacy shirt. I thought I had to be a rock star. Wear crazy clothes. That was pretty funny.
But, that's not what your thing anymore, huh?
Not so much rock anymore. Yeah. No.
What makes for a really good live show for you guys? I mean, like, do you judge it based on your performance or the audience reaction or the sound quality of the stage you're on?
I think sound on the stage does a lot for me because it's really hard to get a right sound for me.
It's hard to get into it if you can't hear yourself well, you know, if everything sounds really hard. But also the audience, you know, if there's a good crowd out there and everybody's having a good time, it really, like, helps me perform better. I feel like, you know, it builds my confidence up, and I find that the more people that are at the Spaceland show on April 3rd at 11 o'clock,
and it's probably better
music
for you guys.
Kraft Club.
It's probably better for you guys to be in a place where you can really go as loud as you need to. Like, you know, some bands, you know, there's so many different venues in LA, and sometimes you have to play in places that aren't really suited for your music. Can you guys sort of adjust to the space, like if it's a tiny space, or do you really prefer to be in a big crowd?
Well, yeah, we definitely have done a little bit of both. We've done a lot of, we've played cantors a lot. And that's, that's pretty much like the most minimal. Place. You know, there's no monitors anyway. You know,
I'm amazed at how many like loud rock bands are playing the kibitz room now, because it's like a tiny place.
We've really learned to like tone down.
Yeah.
I found that actually pretty much anywhere you play, if you have, it's better to play a little bit quieter though.
Mm-hmm.
That's what pretty much people have been telling us. They're just like, just turn your stuff down. Yeah, just turn it down, Jimi Hendrix. That's what the guy at the Viper Room told me.
Nice.
I didn't know that.
It was like a compliment, but kind of a little jab.
Kind of a dig at the same time. It was very Sunset Strip of him to say that.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into another live song, if you guys are
ready. This song, I just want to preface, this was written, my granddad died a couple years ago, and I was just thinking about like mortality a lot at the time, so... Just wanted to say the song is like for anybody who's kind of lost somebody. It's called When You Break. All right.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Kraft Club.
When you break.
That is a great song. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Kraft Klub. That was fantastic. You know, all of my favorite songs are kind of, you know, they kind of defy the little genres that people get painted into when they're trying to pitch themselves to the suits, you know. And there's all kinds of different influences in that song you guys just played. I mean, I could have sworn I heard some like Americana riffs, and there was some almost a hip hop beat at some point. And you know, it's really cool. You draw from like all of these things. When you guys are putting your music together, do you sort of think about how your sound is defined and like what kind of genres and little corners you guys get painted into?
I don't think
not
so.
Not so much. Yeah, we. It's a little bit of a. It's been a problem because people like, you know, we'll try to like get in with a venue or something. And they're asking what our sound is.
Like, well, like, what are you?
Kind of a little bit all over the place. You know, we got ups and downs with some sort of like electro rock. You know. Upbeat, right. Disco-y kind of thing, and then with that song, you just got Tearjerker written all over it.
I think we come from different backgrounds, so I think that does it a lot.
Yeah, I can really hear the influence of each of you in the song, too. It's not like you're all, I mean, you're all playing the same song, but you're not all doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, has that been a challenge for you then with booking and things like that, and just not being able to say, like... I mean, what do
it's
you
just hard
saying?
To see. Yeah, it's just hard when you say, like, "What are we?" You know, people like, "What kind of music is it?" And we're like, "Well, we're kind of all over the place." Like, I just say it's rock music, I guess.
Yeah. Do you kind of pick and choose like what kind of version of yourself you're going to present depending on the scene or the club that you're playing in?
Yeah, I think so. Certain venues definitely have like more of a rock crowd, so we'll play some of our more heavier stuff. And you know, Spaceland, I guess we're going to be doing the shoegaze set.
Shoegaze.
Okay, but you have promised at the end you're just going to smash your guitar against something and bite the head off of a rabbit or something.
Will's going to jump into drum sets.
He's got a huge mouth. He can fit a whole rabbit in there.
Cool. We'll get a mosh pit going April 3rd at Spaceland. In terms of, like, the future of Kraft Klub, where do you guys see yourselves going? Like, how will you know when you've arrived? You know, when you've done it.
I guess whenever I can quit my job.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is sort of your objective to just kind of be able to just write music and be able to sustain yourself with that? Or do you have like, excuse me, they're coming for me.
Oh, there we go.
You're busted.
This is the problem with doing the show on the median strip of a freeway. Do you guys see yourselves like, you know, front cover of Rolling Stones or something like that? Or do you see yourselves as like having a strong cult following? Or do you just not pay attention to what's going to happen in the future?
I mean, I think, you know, I would like to take it as far as it can go, you know, but I guess it's just kind of, you know, I try to like visualize stuff like that happening after watching like The Secret or whatever, you know,
yeah.
I'm hoping Manifest. That something good's going to happen like that, but... But I'd just be happy, you know, just being on the road and touring and,
I
you know,
play
just
Coachella.
Reaching people.
You want to play Coachella?
Yeah. I think that'd be
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, we really like Coachella.
Well, let's listen to another track from the CD. We'll throw it on something on right now. What do you recommend?
You guys want to check out Sleep, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. This is another song that just all over the genre central.
Nice. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Kraft Klub. Stick around.
Purple mountains.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Hang out with Kraft Club, talking about corporate radio stations and how much they suck. What was your experience releasing this? What's KNA Records? Is that a label or is that something you guys put together?
That's the label we started, hoping to sound more professional when we send it out to places. But I mean, it is a real label though, so
that
I guess
was a secret.
It's just only got the one band, Kraft Club.
Nice. All their eggs in one basket.
We're putting all our resources into this one band, Kraft Club. They're really good.
I've heard of them, yeah. Is that sort of in the works, the idea of getting signed to a bigger label and having a little bit of financing behind them? Or would you prefer to do it on your own and kind of have the freedom that comes with that?
I mean, I think in an ideal world, it'd be great if we could sell all these CDs on our own and, you know, build this label up on our own and sign other bands. But at the same time, realistically, you know, we all kind of need money at the same time. So if something came along, I mean, we wouldn't be, I guess you'd just say like whatever the offer was, we'd have to look at it and see what it is. I think the main thing is I think we just don't want to give up like all of our rights, you know, and sign over to some huge label and like them just totally screw us over and be like, oh yeah, by the way, here's 25 cents.
I'll give you $1 million right now if you put a rapper interlude into every song.
Yeah, exactly.
If you let Gwen Stefani sing backing tracks
for
you.
You got the goods, but you got to wear a Speedo on stage.
Yeah.
And grow a mustache.
I bet you do.
Yeah, Will
already.
Will do it.
Yeah, we'll let Will do all that work.
There'll be a likes wearing Speedos. It doesn't work that way.
It's funny, when we were like looking for a new drummer on Craigslist, this girl replied, and she's like, yeah, you gotta check out my MySpace. So we went on there, and she's like this total punk rock chick, kind of looked like David Bowie when he was like Ziggy Stardust days.
When he was a girl.
and so I go to her pictures, and like the first picture is her playing the drums with like nothing but nipple tassels on.
Like fiery nipple tassels.
And I was like, man, that's pretty cool.
That's so Kraft Club,
so,
isn't it?
So now Will wears nipple tassels under his shirt at all times.
Along those lines, you know, nipple tassels notwithstanding, what are there any things that you worry about having to give up if you get, you know, more popular, you know, in terms of the integrity of your music? Are there certain things traps you don't want to fall into or trends you don't want to follow?
Yeah, I'm definitely worried about like some record label guy going, we need another hit, write us another hit, you know? And I'm like, well, this isn't, you know, this mm-hmm. is just what I wrote. And like, I feel like if I was like forced to write something, like they just told me to like write a hit or something, it would just turn out crappy. But
so you don't like to write, you know, for the radio. If you write a song and it makes it on the radio, that's cool.
But yeah, like I don't think I could really write like that, just to, you know, unless it was for like a Smucker's commercial or, you know, unless I was getting paid to do a jingle or something for In-N-Out Burger.
with a name like Smucker's. I saw it recently. It's kind of unrelated, but I saw a video of the story behind New Order, and they'd had done a commercial for Orange Crush. There was like a version of Blue Monday where they were saying like Orange Crush is the one. It was so lame.
That's so ironic.
It was awful. All right, let's jump into a live song if you guys are ready.
Yeah.
What are you going to play?
This one's the last song of the album called Avalanches.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Kraft Club.
Got a big old heart, now it's time to crush it. You got a big old mouth, now it's time to shut it. I heard so much stuff. Thank you. been funny how it's tired of men can see. Fought so hard and hard, blame for everything. Got me religion now, but it's not what you think. Looks just like a clouds with fiery arms ring. No, no, you don't.
Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Kraft Club, another great song. Talk to me a little bit about your experience promoting in LA and kind of putting your audience together and in this town full of sheep, kind of herding them away from one place and into another one, you know, preparing them for slaughter.
It's tough. It's tough stuff.
Is it fun at all? Like, I hear from a lot of bands that it's like, you know, it's something you got to do. You got to bring people out to your shows, but it's exhausting and, you know, it's painful. And a lot of bands really hate it, but some bands really get a kick out of it, you know, making flyers and all that.
We like making the flyers.
It's the passing them out that's a
yeah.
pain. Yes.
I used to go down to
Venice Beach with like a CD player and just like, I would have like the CD player just playing out, you know, and a bunch of CDs out, and that was kind of fun, just hanging out on the beach.
People
that
start
was his
hating,
job
though.
For a while.
Yeah.
But have you seen, you know, over, like, how long have you guys been together playing out live as a band?
You mean the three of us?
Yeah.
Specifically, probably, like,
four months.
Oh, that's right, because you recently changed
yeah,
things
I mean,
up.
As far as, like, you know, Claire and I have been playing out for... Probably about four years.
So, I mean, have you seen kind of an evolution in your crowd, like a lot of the same Kraft Club fans coming to your shows and things like that?
Yeah, definitely. I think we, especially lately, I feel like we've been having like a pretty decent turnout at our shows now, and without as much struggle, you know, promoting wise, they don't have to get my uncles and. Grandma to come out to the show anymore.
Do you guys like to tour? Do you like to get out of town and play for new audiences? Have you had that opportunity yet?
Yeah, we played back in my hometown in Arizona, which was really fun. It was kind of because I come from a small town out there, and so it was kind of a big deal for everybody out there to have like we were like this big LA rock band.
Like a real life rock band.
Like the local paper even wrote like an article on us, and like it was pretty cool. A bunch of people came out, but
yeah, that was fun.
And they actually paid us to play, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, that must be an interesting experience to like play for a crowd that's like, you know, grateful for the opportunity to see a band perform for them. Because, you know, they're so spoiled here in L.A. because it's so saturated with bands.
Yeah, we played at this place down there called the Birdcage. And it was like it was on a street called Whiskey Row.
And like, downtown.
You know, it was just the whole wall was like lined with taxidermy dead animals.
Nice.
It was kind of interesting, but. It was kind of like a country rock bar, I guess, or something, or blues rock bar.
And you saw those dead animals, and you're like, this is it. We made it.
But like it went over really well. Like when we walked in, it was like all these kind of like, you know, older like cowboy looking guys and their girlfriends. But, you know, we were like, man, I don't know how this music's going to go over well with these people. But they all loved it. So I was like,
yeah,
man,
it was
that's
scared.
Cool.
Not bad for L.A. city folk.
Yeah, it's better than, you know, some of the shows. We also played in Corona, which was kind of getting out of town. That was pretty fun.
We played in Wisconsin once too, right?
Oh, yeah. We
Kenosha?
We had, yeah, we got flown out to Wisconsin to play a show, which was kind of an interesting experience. We played at like an old high school auditorium, which was really cool.
Nice.
That was a really fun show.
Felt like rock stars for a moment.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from your audiences, from your fans? I mean, is that in line with what you hope your audience is getting, or are they getting something totally different from your music? Is it a surprise when you hear what resonates with a fan?
No, I guess not. I mean... unless it's, you know, sometimes I feel like we play really bad shows and people will still tell us that we sounded good, and that sometimes surprises me. But,
well,
not to sound like cocky.
No,
Will's
it's
looking at me
great.
Like, you cocky sure. bastard.
Well, when you're. When
I sounded great at those shows.
Yeah, Will did. We don't know about the rest of you guys. But when you think about, you know, a Kraft Club fan, do you get an image in your head of them listening to your CD? Or of them, you know, rocking out at a live show? What comes to your mind first, like, in terms of how you see your music affecting people?
Yeah, I see it, I guess, more as the live aspect, just because the CD hasn't really reached, you know, as many people as we've probably reached live. And, yeah, I think that we're probably more of a live band, I guess, than we are, like, a studio band. We don't really, you know, anything that we record, we'll be able to play live. We're not going to do anything, like... Well, Will's looking at me like.
do you like to play out a lot, or do you kind of have to pace yourselves so that you don't, you know, blow your promotional wad too soon?
Yeah, that's kind of something like we like to either do like a residency, you know, play like once a week at the same place every month, or for the month, or else, you know, maybe like two shows a month. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, find it. It's kind of slim pickings out there.
Yeah.
For the people.
Yeah, if you're playing like every day, it's
like,
it's
we just
hard.
Saw you yesterday and the day before. That was a good show, though.
Well, yeah. now that you're sitting in all comfortable, why don't we do another live song?
Okay. This one, this is a new song that a lot of people haven't heard. It's not on the album, and it's going to be coming up on the next Kraft Club album.
Cool. What's it called?
We don't have a name.
Yeah, we haven't named it, but.
All right, a Kill Radio exclusive. Something. I love it. Your listening is good on killradio.org. Stick around.
Oh,
lights up in the twilight of autumn. Lilies, 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 falling endlessly to the sea.
Thanks so much for coming in.
And, thank you.
I'm really glad you guys didn't turn out to be jerks, because that would be embarrassing. what with me presenting you already.
Well, after turn that off, we're going to totally beat you up and steal all your gear.
I appreciate that. So looking forward to seeing you guys play. April 3rd, isgoodmusic.com presents at Spaceland, along with Michael Mazzocchi and the Widows, Night Fur and Fish Circus. Once again, where's the best place to go for the most up-to-date info on Craft Club?
MySpace.com/craftclubmusic, okay. Or else you can link to that from our website, which is craftclubmusic.com.
Cool, and you can pick up the CD there at your website, as well as all over
the place. It's on MySpace, yeah. It's on iTunes, Amoeba, yeah.
All right, everywhere. Cool. Let's sign off with one more track from the CD. What do you recommend?
What do you guys want to hear? You want to do Avalanches, even though we've already played it live?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Cool.
I like this song.
This will be available for this episode of the show will be available for download from myspace.com/thisisgood and isgoodmusic.com sometime tonight or tomorrow. So check back there for all the past, present, and future guests of Is Good. Thanks for listening.
Now it's time to shut it. I heard someone